Well, new CSO figures show the number of electric cars that have newly been licensed has increased by 79% in the first 7 months of this year. New figures from the Central Statistics Office show the continued growth in the number of electric and plug-in hybrid vehicles licensed in Ireland so far this year. And I suppose we have seen it grow over the last number of years here in this country. On the line, we have the motoring editor with the Sunday Independent, Kildare resident Geraldine Herbert. Geraldine, good morning and welcome to the programme again.
Good morning, Owen.
As I said there, we've seen this increase over the last number of years. New car sales in general down 25%, but electric vehicle sales have increased.
Yeah, new car sales are down probably just due to the cost of living and various different things. Electric car sales, though, are definitely growing. We now see one in five new cars sold are sold with a plug, so either a plug-in hybrid or an electric car. And we could actually see more sales if we actually had the cars. The problem at the moment is there's a wait of about 6 to 9 months if you're ordering a new electric car today. So those figures could actually be much higher.
I've heard that from just anecdotally people I know who are trying to get electric cars, but also listeners who will call into us here in the station. What is that wait for?
The main problem at the moment is this global chip shortage that we're all hearing about, but also the Ukraine war has put pressure on supply chain issues in terms of parts that are just needed for electric cars, so that has actually made things worse. So that's why we were looking at about 6 months, but now 6 to 9 months is not unheard of to be on a waiting list.
Okay, let's talk about electric cars in general then, Geraldine, and we've discussed it with you previously, and also, I would know people who would say, I'd love to get an electric car, but the incentive just isn't there. While there are some, you know, grants in place from the government, charging points is a huge stickler for some people. Where am I going to charge the car? Do I need to get a built-in charger at home, which you would? But also, in some of the towns and villages, there are no places to charge the electric cars.
Yeah, our charging infrastructure is certainly not helping our case. Now, that said, the majority of people who buy an electric car will charge it at home, and that's where the real, not only the conveniences but the savings are as well. It's much, much cheaper to charge an electric car at home, and for that reason I'd advise people, really, if you haven't got a driveway that's suitable, I would hold off for the moment. Now, where the infrastructure really falls down is we have a decent number of charging points, but they're the slow standard chargers that are going to take a couple of hours. What we desperately need are more of the fast chargers, and they're the ones where you can plug in for 30 minutes and, you know, recharge your car up to maybe 70-80%, and that's where it's very poorly served.
Yeah, and I know in Selbridge in particular, there's, you know, a population of 20,000 there, but there's only two charging points serving the whole town, and that's caused some issues as well. In terms of these home charging points then, what's involved in the installation of the charging point?
Well, in terms of the cost, the government obviously gives €600 towards the cost of it. Now, with the new regulations that they brought in, or the new suite of measures, anybody can apply for that grant. It used to be the case that you had to have a car reg, and you had to be in the process of buying a car, an electric car, whether it was a used car or a new car, you had to be an owner before you can get one. Now anyone's entitled to apply for a home charger. Depending on the setup in your driver, you may have to put €400, €500, maybe €900 towards that. If it's a complex setup, it could cost you a lot more money, and it really depends on the sort of charger and how sophisticated it is that you put in. But as I said, the average people pay is between €1,000 and €1,500. The government gives you €600 towards that, so it depends then how much you add on, depending on what you're actually putting in and how complicated the setup is in your driveway.
Back to those CSO figures then, and overall the figure showing that the number of new cars licensed in July fell by 25%. A total of 15,000 new cars were licensed in July, a decrease of 5,154. Toyota remaining the most popular make of new private cars, followed by Volkswagen, Hyundai, Kia and Skoda. Together these represent 58% of all new private cars licensed in July. Are we seeing, Geraldine, more car brands now perhaps thinking of bringing out electric models of their, I suppose, old reliable petrol and diesel model cars?
Yeah, I mean, car makers have no choice at this stage. The EU, you know, have put very tight CO2 regulations and emission levels on them. So in order to meet those levels, they have to add zero emission cars. We're sort of seeing two things in the sense of how car makers are doing it. Either, as you say, they bring out, you know, a petrol, a diesel and an electric version of their car, or they bring out brand new, completely, you know, new models. So the likes of Kia and Hyundai have models that don't relate to their petrol and diesel. They're completely different. But then BMW are just adding, Mercedes as well tend to bring out electric versions of their ICE cars. So it really depends on car makers, but at this stage they're all adding electrics. They just have no option but to.
Yeah, that's the talk about new cars then, and the new licences. Whether it's a new or an old car that you have, it has to go through the NCT, Geraldine. And that's if you're lucky enough to get yourself an appointment, because the waiting lists are absolutely massive. Motorists in some part of the country face waiting until next year to book an appointment online for that NCT national car test, as demand is soaring. And here in Kildare, Geraldine, are we waiting until February for an appointment?
Yeah, it's not good. I just literally tried it this morning and the first available date I could get is the 3rd of February. And even nearby, you could go to Dean's Grange and get one on the 26th of November. Everything else in sort of in around this area would be February or January. So it's not uncommon for the first appointment to be December, January or February at this stage around the country. And really what we're seeing is all of the NCT centres having very high demand. And this is due to there's still a COVID backlog. There's customers not showing up. And again, that's probably COVID related. And staff absenteeism. So, you know, there's issues really across the board.
Yeah, this was an Irish Independent survey that was carried out a couple of weeks ago. The waiting times across the country found the earliest that some motorists in Dublin, Cavan, Kildare, Louth and Meath can book an appointment in their local NCT centre is either January or February of next year. 48 test centres in Ireland. A question as well that I want to put to you, Geraldine. If you live in Kildare, can you get your NCT tests anywhere in the country?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've just literally gone on online and you can select the where you want to get it done. So you can scroll through it and find a centre that is that's reasonably close and get it done. But what I would advise anyone who's really in, you know, needs to get one in a hurry is phone the NCT, because they don't release all of the available appointments online. They always have spare ones and they always have spare capacity. So if you ring them, they normally will sort you out in a couple of weeks. Also, if you have a date and it's a good bit ahead of time or whatever, carry the record of, you know, the proof of the appointment with you. And if you do get stopped by the guards, at least you can show them that. The other thing I would say, Owen, is you can book a test up to 90 days before your expiry date. And I know Irish people are not great at planning ahead, but in this case, if you are due one in the next few months, do it now if you can.
Yeah, some good advice there. The NCT has to be conducted every 2 years for vehicles between 4 and 9 years old. For cars 10 years or older, an annual inspection is required. Waiting time is very high across the country. Cancellations do become available on a daily basis in each centre, and at the moment the shortest wait time is in Waterford, where a booking could be made almost immediately, according to The Independent. Appointments were also available next week in Tuam, County Galway, and the Monaghan test centres as well. That is the latest there with regards to NCTs in Naas. It looks as though early February is when you'll next get an appointment, and it's a similar situation in nearby Navan, Dean's Grange, North Point and Font Hill in Dublin, also Dundalk and Cavan. Geraldine Herbert, motoring editor of the Sunday Independent, thanks for joining us, Geraldine.
Many thanks.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
All right, catching up then on some of the messages. One listener says, can't believe people are encouraged to get electric cars and the talk of power cuts. It's just crazy. While Breda says, so it's the summer and there's no wind inland. She is less than happy with maybe public representatives saying that we need the wind farms offshore rather than inland. Back to our favourite places in Kildare. Breda Brown says, my favourite place in the county is the Hill of Allen. The view from the top is just breathtaking, and living at the foot and not climbed it in a long time. Still love the view, according to Breda. You want to get the hiking boots out, Breda, and get up to the top of Hill of Allen again very shortly. But yeah, the views are gorgeous. And also up at Crosspatrick, around the Ballateague area. The view over the Bog of Allen is gorgeous there. Local historian Liam Kenny has been in touch. My favourite place in the county is Mainham on the Clane Kilcock Road. It's like a time capsule of Kildare. Stories that it's ancient burial ground of a Celtic queen. It has a fortified church on the edge of the Pale, and it's close enough to Clongowes Avenue to hunt for conkers, according to Liam Kenny. Keep those messages coming in to us. Fine Gael councillor and Cathaoirleach of the Naas Municipal District, Fintan Brett. Good morning, Fintan.
Good morning, Owen.
EV is Cahirlo.
Oh, you're last Cahirlo.
I'm County Mayor.
County Mayor.
EV is Nath.
Right, County Mayor, yeah. Thanks for clarifying that. Well, that just gives you even more authority to speak on the next issue then, Fintan, about the narrowing of the roads around the county, because we've covered it yesterday, we're covering it today as well, about the, you know, particularly in Derren Turn, where listeners were in touch with us, around the school and the church there, the road has been narrowed. I actually drove out to Derren Turn yesterday to have a look at it on the way to Rahan Wood in Clonrinco. And it has been narrowed considerably. You're in favour of it, though, and also these bollards that have been installed in the likes of Nace, Newbridge and Sallins. Tell us a little bit more.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm in favour of the bollards in Sallins. The concept of what they're doing, narrowing the roads, I think there was a report, just to give, back in 1963, that widened, took everything off the roads and towns and villages and widened the streets to let cars, the few cars through, to give them priority. And that was the way it was in everywhere up until literally 10, 15 years ago, when people realised that it was impossible to cross towns and villages. And there's been a sea change with climate change and everything to get back to a situation where pedestrians have priority in towns and villages, and to try and get the traffic out of it and that. And what we're at here in Sallins, now I'd have to say straight, I cannot really say a lot about Derren Turn because it's outside my AMD area, and there's plenty of councillors there that more than capable of representing that there. But a prime example would be Sallins, where we had an unfortunate fatality there a couple of years ago. And really a lot of that was due with the width of the road and a student trying to get across it. So what they've done is they've narrowed the carriageway, which by its implication will slow traffic down. But the bollards, they got a contractor to put in bollards there. So we have a public realm team, a sustainable transport team inside, and they got a contractor to put in bollards. And in my opinion, and this has been raised by the local councillor out there, Carmel Kelly, who's on holidays at the moment, that there is an issue with the bollards in daytime in that they're black and they're difficult to see. And I would agree with that. I worked in civil engineering, and my idea always was that bollards along roads would be orange. As you see cones everywhere with this cones, and you can see them when you come to them, and reflective. The bollards at present in Sallins, at night time, because there's a reflective strip, it's quite easy to see them. But in the daytime, they blend sort of into the background. So I would agree that what's there probably is not suitable. We have raised this with the transport, with the area engineer, David Reel, and I do know that there's consultation going on between both the area engineer and the public realm stroke sustainable transport team about how to deal with this, because eventually that job that's been done there will revert back to David Reel's team and the area engineer to maintain it. So they will want it to be right. And we have certainly, when I say we, councillors in Vinnie, have made it known that we're not happy with the type of bollard that's in situ there at present.
Right, so those bollards are temporary at the moment. They're going to be replaced then, I think, later in the year. And you're calling for a more high-visibility bollard to be installed, Fintan?
Yes, I wouldn't say it should be later in the year. You're well aware that the uproar there was about the Sallins local area plan, which was 2016 to 2022. That plan is up this year. And I've consistently over the years say to people, when you're to go and look at the Sallins local area plan, I always maintain that plan was an absolutely superb plan that was done in 2016, and we ran into a lot of trouble over the amenity land, which eventually Simon Coveney, who was Minister of Environment, came down and met the councillors at the time and provided the funding to buy that. But on that, from in Appendix 2, and if you go into the Google and take up the Sallins local area, there's 90 pages. On page 67, there's a Cotonara has a section there, urban design and public realm study, and I contend that is a blueprint for any town and village. It's a fabulous piece of work, and a lot of that, what's been done there, is what he has said there. And I'd hope that my gut feeling is that the works in Sallins will be done under a new plan to come out. Probably will be commencing early next year, I'd imagine, because this plan, as I say, finishes at the end of this year. But that public realm in Appendix 2, to me, is everything that any town and village in Ireland should aspire to. And in Salins, we have almost a blank canvas in so far as the west of the village has been unable to develop because of the lack of sewage, which is in situ now because of the works that's been carried out there over the last year and a half.
Right, another listener has been in touch to say the recent roadworks at Ballycane in Naas are a nightmare. The path has been widened and is now jutting out onto the road in one place, and wants to know if we can raise that with yourself. Your view on the roadworks in Ballycane, Fintan, if you've seen
them? Well, again, yes. Again, it's all about slowing down traffic and that there. But I will, for that listener, I will go and have a look at that. Certainly from the presentation we got and that, I didn't see any problems on it, but there's nothing like looking at a thing in person, when you get concerns like that raised, to go and look at it. So I will do that possibly this afternoon and see is there an issue there on it.
Okay, we'll leave it there for the moment. That is Fine Gael councillor and County Mayor Fintan Brett, who has been in touch with us there. And following on from our coverage of the narrowing of roads around the county, it's not one particular spot, but various different towns and villages around the place. As I mentioned there, Newbridge, Salins, Naas, Derren Turn in the north of the county. We've heard about it there in Ballycane as well from that listener, and we just wanted to follow up on it on the programme. And if you want to get in touch about your local area, do give us a shout here, 045 898 999 on the call. You can also WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97. Now, just before we take a piece of music, there are some roadworks that are taking place today around the county. Road resurfacing works will be carried out on the road from Broadford, Moy Valley to Carberry today, the 11th of August to Tuesday the 16th of August. A road closure will be in place from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. Diversion routes will be in place and will be clearly signposted. That's the L1002 Broadford from R418 Moy Valley into Carberry. There's also essential broadband installation in Athy on the R417 between Offaly Street and the Shackleton Museum tonight. Works will commence at 7 p.m. and run until 4 a.m. tomorrow morning. A manual stop-go will be in place and short delays are envisaged. And there are footpath upgrade works taking place at Osberstown on the Salins Road in Salins, just over the motorway bridge. Works are taking place today and tomorrow, Friday the 12th of August. The working hours each day from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Traffic management will be in place in the form of a stop-go system and also temporary traffic lights. Right, just before we go to a break, Carmel Whelan has called into us. Good morning to you, Carmel.
Good morning, Owen.
You were listening there to our last discussion about the roads around the county, and we were talking about the narrowing of the roads in the towns and the villages. Your issue, though, was with the motorway.
Well, yes, just travelling back from the Heath last night, and at exit 15, you're diverted through Munster Eben because the motorway is closed at night time for works. But then coming into Munster Eben, the traffic is backed up for ages and ages, and coming through Munster Eben then, on the Kildare side, there are temporary lights and there's loads of machinery, so there's only one lane of traffic open, the lane going towards Dublin, you know?
Right. How long was this diversion taking you then?
It took ages. It should be a 25-minute journey, and it was nearly an hour to get home. And instead of, like, there was no signs to divert you around Munster Eben somewhere, you know, which I'm sure, you know, you could use some other little network of roads. But really, to have all this machinery pulled in Munster Eben at that time of night when people are already, I think the fact that this time of the year they're combine harvested, you know, it's a very, very busy time for farmers and that on the road. And my little nephew had actually phoned me to say that they had come the other way on a combine harvester and how long it had taken him, you know. And I was thinking, oh, it's a little bit later now, it should be fine, you know, but unfortunately not. So it's just
what time was this, Carmel?
It was 11 when I got home, so I had left about a little bit before 10.
Right, and you live in the Portlaoise area, is it?
No, I was down visiting my sister at the Heath and I was coming back to Newbridge.
Right, okay. So just remind us then of the route that you took. You were down in the Heath, you were coming back then Portlaoise, Monastraven area. You were diverted then at Junction 15?
At Junction 15, yes, yes. And you could go back onto the motorway again, but I just chose to come to Monastraven, not realising that that would be the situation, you know?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, listen, thanks for getting in touch, Carmel, because I'm sure there are other listeners who...
Yeah.
And how long do you reckon those works are in place? Is this
no
the first time you've seen
them? No, they've been there at night time all right for a while. They have been there.
Okay, good to let people know because there might be people, you know, driving that area tonight or indeed for the next couple of nights around Monastraven, Portlaoise, Junction 15. Keep that in mind if you are travelling that route. Carmel Whelan, thanks for giving us a call. Appreciate it.
Kildare Today. With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. Okay, just a note to let you know there has been described as a positive response to a recent call for more community first responder trainees by the Kilcullen CFR unit. A number of people have already come forward and the group is confident of having a full complement of new people for September. In the meantime though, if you want further information on being a first responder, you can take part in an information evening this evening via Zoom. That's the 11th of August this evening. The event starts at 8:30 tonight and you can get a link by emailing kilcullenfirstresponders@gmail.com. So that event taking place at 8:30 tonight. Back to that issue then on the motorway around the Monastraven Junction 15 area. One listener says it's an upgrade of water and sewage for the new school in Monastraven. That's been ongoing for the last few weeks. Thanks for that message. Mary Smullen in Sallins has been in touch. On the Clane Road in Sallins, the cycle lane just stops and the road narrows just before the shop there. It's dangerous because you're suddenly on the road and cars are whizzing by you. Also owned, some of the estates come out onto the cycle lanes and cars come out onto the lanes in front of you. I know because I cycle there and you have to have your wits about you. That comes in from Mary in Sallins. Keep those messages coming into us. You know the drill by now. 0833 97 97 97. Text and WhatsApp. If you want to call us, you can do so 0458 98 999 or email studio@kfmradio.com. Let's go to the Rosebery area of Newbridge there, and Shay Cash is on the line. Good morning to you, Shay.
Morning, Owen.
How are you keeping? First of all, congratulations. You were crowned the World Trout Fly Angling Champion at the weekend, and a fantastic achievement. We'll talk about that in a moment's time. I saw an article, though, by Tommy Callaghan in the Leinster Leader saying that back in 1965, you lined out at full back for Kildare in the under-21 All-Ireland Final when the Lilies defeated Cork. So you were a footballer as well, but then you decided to go down the fishing route.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The legs caught up on me.
So you decided then, look, we'll hang up the football boots and get the fishing rod down.
Yeah.
But you've been fishing for a number of years, Shay. Tell us how you got involved in that.
Many years. Everyone around Kildare started on the Liffey, River Liffey. So I fished there for a number of years. Father fished before me. So we all started on the Liffey. Then we got into the bit of lake fishing then. A few friends used to go lake fishing. Mullingar, down to Loch Oul or Annalor, then we moved on to Shailen and Cavan to Nay, so that's how it all started. So I've been at it ever since.
Yeah. Well, good. Growing up in the Newbridge area, you had the Liffey on your doorstep, which
is absolutely
perfect for fly fishing.
Yeah, that's it. And then there were more water in it than there is now.
Yeah, but you were saying that to me yesterday,
There is water years ago, and you know yourself. It's gone very low now over the years.
Yeah, so it has changed quite a lot.
Still full of trout, though, if you're able to catch them.
If you're able to catch them, which you are, because as I've mentioned on the programme, I'd be big into the fishing as well, the fly fishing. I do a bit of canal fishing as well. I'd be nowhere near a world champion, though, so you're well able to pull them out with the Liffey and the other places as well. This world championship that took place at the weekend, tell us a bit about it. Where was it, and how did you get involved?
Down Loch Mass, down in Bannerope. and it is going on since 53. So there's four qualifying days. So you fish either Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, and the final ends on Sunday. You have one day to qualify.
Right.
You can pick your day, and then a quarter of each day qualifies to fish the final. So that's the way they work it out.
Right. So when was your qualifying day?
My qualifying day was Friday. So we went down. A friend of mine, Liam Cox. We usually go down Thursday evening and stay Thursday night, fish Friday, and then come home then Friday night sometime.
Yeah. And you got through to the final then, which took place on Sunday. And it's described that on Sunday the weather conditions weren't that favourable for angling. Why is that?
No, it's like today. Well, the sun is shining like today and there's not a cloud in the sky. And you could do nothing else when you fish dry fly because you had no wind and the boat was static. You know, going nowhere. So most lads, if you fly the dry fly, not saying it'll work, but some days it works.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because some people, Shay, and, you know, they may not have the keenest interest in fishing or even the most knowledge of it. They'd look out today and, you know, see the sun shining, it's grand and calm, and say, that's a grand day for fishing, lovely day to go out and, you know, spend some time on the Liffey. But, you know, days like that are actually not ideal for fishing because, as funny as it might sound, the fish can see you.
Oh, the fish go down when the blue sky and sun is shining. And then again, the dry fly, then a lot of people wouldn't have the patience to look at a dry fly for 4 or 5 hours.
And
that's the secret, you know, you just have to stay with it and hope. So that's the way it works.
All right, tell us about the fish that you caught then at the weekend, Shay.
The fish then was about 2.8. It wouldn't be a great fish in everyday fishing, but on the day it was good enough.
And it was all trout that you were catching?
All trout, yeah. The competition, over the whole competition, is all trout fishing. Wet fly, dry fly, over the 4 days, you know, 5 days.
Yeah. No, I think it's a fantastic achievement. There's a brilliant photo as well of you in the Leinster Leader. And it's some trophy that you have. The prestigious
the big
trophy.
Open. Yeah, and all the names are on the bottom of it all around over the years.
Yeah, yeah.
How they get many names onto it, I don't know, but they do anyway.
Yeah, and your name has been added to it now, which is great. It was presented to you from chairperson of the World Cup Committee, Matty Lally. Huge, big trophy. Is it sitting up on the mantelpiece at home?
Oh, sitting up inside the door. Yeah, and fair play to the committee. They do a very good job. It means they have it all done and dusted within a quarter of an hour.
Yeah.
It's all on computer and, you know, fair play to them.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, 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 very run competition. You have a gilly. A gilly brings you, a lot of people don't know this. You have an angler with you, and then you have a gilly.
Right.
So he's in charge of the boat. So you have to arrange then with your fishing partner where you want to go, what you want to do, and the gilly, it'll do it for you.
Right, so you were actually out on the boat then on a lake, was it?
Oh, yeah, Loch Mass, yeah, huge.
Right, so I thought you were fishing maybe wading in or fishing from the bank, but you're out
on
the boat.
No, out in the boat, out in the middle of Loch Mass. Oh, no, God, no, it's all boat fishing out in Loch Mass over the 5 days.
Right, okay, fantastic. Go on.
A lot of it then is luck. You get a good day and you get a bad day. Now, Friday day I fished, it was a lovely day to fish. Nice bit of wind, a bit of cloud cover, and everything was good.
Right.
But the next lad then fishing Saturday, it could be the opposite. It could be a day like today. So everything is a lot of luck involved in it.
Yeah, okay. Just to go through the full results then, Shay, you obviously came first from Newbridge out in the Rosebery area. Stuart Marshall of Belfast was second. Billy Graham of Banbridge was third. Patsy Tracy and Enniskillen fourth. PJ O'Brien in Mallow was fifth. And Christy Crotty was sixth. So a brilliant, brilliant achievement for Shay Cash, who is from Rosebery in Newbridge. So, Shay, fantastic achievement. Thanks indeed for joining us on the programme this morning, and good morning to you. All right, thanks to Shay there. Now we're going to move on to Hurling for Cancer. Jim Bulger is on the line, legendary horse trainer and Hurling for Cancer manager, because the Hurling for Cancer takes place in St. Connolly's Park next Tuesday, all in aid of the Irish Cancer Society. Jim Bulger, good morning and welcome to Kildare Today.
Thank you, Owen.
So a lot to look forward to next Tuesday. KFM are going to be there broadcasting live from the event in St. Connolly's Park. It's returning after a couple of years break, obviously because of COVID, Jim.
Yes, and we're in line for a great game. And dare I say it, possibly the best game that will ever have been played in County Kildare with the lineup that we have.
Yeah, I don't think the teams have been officially named yet, Jim, or have they been released? But looking through the team and some of the players that are on it, some star-studded names there and some very, very familiar faces.
Well, they're due out, I think, this morning anyway, so I hope nobody will be offended if I give you some of the names anyway.
Yeah, sure, go on. Who have we got?
Well, the highlight in 2019 were the performances of Brendan Cummins and Damien Fitzhenry, both goalkeepers. They were outstanding, and there were saves there that possibly were never replicated in Croke Park. So that is the outstanding memory from 2019. And the two of those, thankfully, are lining out again. And I'm told by each of them that they're as fit as they've ever been. So we're expecting a star performance from the two goalkeepers.
Yeah, we won't go through the full team, but I just want to mention the managers, Jim. So the Jim Bulger stars, your two managers are Liam Griffin and Liam Cahill, and Davy Russell's best, the two managers are Ursula Jacob and a man by the name of Brian Cody, who might be looking for another managerial job now after ending his tenure with Kilkenny.
It's good to see that Brian hasn't fully retired anyway, so we're all looking forward to seeing him there. Brian has been with us for the last 12 years, and hopefully he'll be with us for many more.
Yeah, I notice as well, Jim, that you're saying it's the first time that Hurling for Cancer has been held after the Hurling Championship final, and it certainly worked in your favour because you have some of the star-studded players around the country can now line out for the game.
That's very true, yeah. The only thing that is affecting us now is that there are some club games running, but we still have two outstanding teams, and it would be hard to call the result at this stage. And included in that are a number of all-stars, and I suppose probably off the top of my head we could probably total about 24 All-Ireland medals as well.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Some of the names: TJ Reid, Eddie Brennan, Richie Hogan, Damien Fitzhendry, Tommy Walsh, they're all lining out for Jim Bulger stars. Davy Russell's best, then TJ Ryan, Patrick Horgan, Dara O'Donovan, Kevin Foley, Shane Foley, and Shane Dowling, to name just a few. The full teams, though, will be released today.
Don't forget the Wexford fellas now: Liam McGovern, Lee Chase, and Jamie Todd.
Always good to get the Wexford lads in.
Yes, if I don't give those a mention, I'll be in the bad books.
Yeah, definitely. I know that Rachel Blackmore, Nina Carberry, Paul McGrath, Bernard Dunn, Paul Townend, Kildare's very own Willie McCreary, Ted Walsh, Niall Quinn, they're all going to be helping out on the day as fourth officials and linesmen and umpires and everything.
And Miriam O'Callaghan.
Miriam O'Callaghan will be there as well as Gordon Elliott, Jack Kennedy, Ger Lyons and Dublin's John Small. So tell us about the day itself. It's happening next Tuesday, Jim. If people want to get tickets, how can they do so and what time does it all start?
Well, they can pay at the gate. That's probably the handiest way at this stage. The gates are open from 4:30 and throw-in is at 6 o'clock.
Absolutely, and raising vital funds for cancer research as well, all in aid of the Irish Cancer Society. Jim, just before we let you go, we can't have you on to talk without talking horse racing briefly. And, you know, we were delighted to see that crowds were back in for some of the big race meetings around Kildare this year. The likes of Punchestown, the Dubai Duty Free Irish Derby at the Curragh. There's been some great racing at Naas as well. So fantastic to see punters back in through the gates now as well.
It is, and you know, it's a completely different scene to what it was for the last 2 years. And while we're still a little bit below 2019, with this weather now, hopefully they'll be back again before the season is over.
And I was having a look at some of your major training wins before we came on. The Irish 1000 Guineas, the 2000 Guineas, the Champion Stakes, the Irish Derby, the Irish Oaks, Pretty Polly Stakes, the Tattersall's Gold Cup, the Irish Champion Hurdle. That's only in Ireland. While in Britain, you won the 1000 Guineas, 2000 Guineas, the Coronation Stakes, the Derby, the King George V, the Queen Elizabeth Stakes, the Oaks, the St. James's Palace Stakes, and in Hong Kong, the Hong Kong Cup. The list is endless, Jim Bulger. What is your standout moment, if you have a standout moment or standout horse?
That's why I'm worn out at this stage. the big one for me was Trading Leather winning the Irish Derby. We bred him and owned him and trained him, and Kevin Manning rode him. So it was a complete family affair. And the most memorable day for me, anyway.
That was back in 2013 that you won that Irish Derby. You also won it with San Jovis in 1992, and Teofilo as well. It was a fantastic horse. And I also want to mention to you New Approach, Jim, back in 2007. You bred the star, emerged in the shape of New Approach. It was in the Epsom Derby. But was there talk, perhaps, that was an accident, that it was entered into the Epsom Derby, Jim?
Well, I had intended asking my secretary to take him out of the race after he ran at the Curra, and it slipped my mind, fortunately, because he recovered quicker than I expected after the Irish 2000 Guineas. So I phoned John Ferguson, who represented Sheikh Mohammed at the time, and They were more than happy to let him go if I was happy with the horse. So he did go, and the rest is history.
Absolutely. That was the Irish Derby, as we said, or the Epsom Derby, winning that in 2007. I think one of the last races that you won, Jim, or majors that you won here in Ireland was just last year in 2021, the 2000 Guineas with Max Sweeney.
Yes, that was another memorable day, and we also had the second. Which was bad management on my part, but however, it was great to get the win.
Yeah, super, super CV. It's great chatting to you on the programme, Jim. Of course, a native of Oilgate in County Wexford, and you've worked alongside the likes of Aidan O'Brien, Tony McCoy and Paul Carberry, to name just a few. The teams are going to be announced for the Irish Cancer Society's fundraiser, Hurling for Cancer Research, which takes place in St. Conlon's Park next Tuesday evening, and you can get more details online, but also you can pay at the gate. Jim Bulger stars up against Davy Russell's best, the managers Liam Griffin and Liam Cahill, along with Brian Cody and Ursula Jacob. KFM are going to be broadcasting live in the outside broadcast unit there from next Tuesday evening. Pleasure talking to you, Jim. The very best of luck with the cancer research and the fundraiser next Tuesday, and we'll see you there, no doubt.
Thank you, Owen. I'm looking forward to meeting you there.